Well, we're just going to continue just talking about some things and have some things I want to share with you. I'm grateful. If you weren't here on Sunday, I ask that you would listen. I'm grateful because there's a number of people that have commented and thanked me for the transparency in terms of what I shared on Sunday. And, I would rather just not share it. But if it helps somebody to understand and there's lessons that can be learned for all of us, at the end of the day, we just really want to be right where God wants us to be. And I'm telling you, the devil wants to fight that more than almost anything else, because if he can get you out of that, it's amazing. If he can get you out of the perfect will of God, you can learn the message of faith, but it won't work for you properly. You can learn a lot of things about prosperity and about healing and about a lot of things like that, but he can only work with you so far when you're not even on the path that he's called you to be. And so the enemy's very smart. He knows that, and he will work subtly as well as overtly to get you off. But if you just keep your heart very humble, humility is a major thing. If you just keep your heart very soft before God and you just have a prayer life. Today, most people don't have a prayer life. I'm telling you, they don't. They're so busy. But if you have a prayer life, this doesn't count if you don't have a prayer and a word life. But if you do, the Holy Ghost is a great equalizer. Even if you made a mistake, he'll get it over to you if you listen. That's how people die young. They don't have a prayer life. I'm serious. They don't have a prayer life, so they're off, and they can't even tell they're off. And then that dread comes, and then they just ignore that, or they don't even sense it. And then they step back past that mercy season into that out of will of God period. And then there's much more access for sickness, for accidents, for problems. I'm serious. Yeah. And then, you know, they end their race with not a very positive report. And then the rest of us look at them and go, but they were nice people. Yeah. They were even faithful to church. They came and they were tithers. How come that happened to them? It's best that you just don't ask that question. Because it's not going to probably satisfy you, the answer. You're responsible for your own backyard. Amen. Dr. Dufresne always said, keep your own backyard clean. I don't judge what happens with other ministers. Yes, sir. Can I tell you something? Pastor was telling me about, she didn't tell me who, I know who it is, but she didn't tell me who, because she's very honorable that way. But she was telling me, she said, you know, Pastor Craig, there was a minister, great minister, really great minister, apostle, large work, a lot of churches, just an amazing minister. And she said, you'd sit and you'd just listen to him. And he'd just talk about the ministry, and his apostolic authority was so profound, the way he ran and organized. She said, it's just a gift from God that when people operate in that properly, it's really, and there's different kinds of apostles, and not everybody has thousands of churches, you understand. And she said, but you know, the one thing about him is he's just mean to his wife. Belittle his wife every opportunity he got, even in front of people. Just critical, wouldn't listen. Kind of acted like he was her boss. Husbands, you are not your wife's boss. And if you haven't had skillet ministry yet, it is forthcoming. Skillet ministry. That's when the wife takes the skillet and begins to minister to you. And she ain't ministering by making you eggs and bacon. She's ministering you in a different way. But that man dropped dead. He dropped dead. And she said, I wonder sometimes if that was, he opened the door. Got out of the perfect will of God. You see, it's not just about an assignment that can get you out of the perfect will of God. How you treat people can get you out of the perfect will of God. Are you listening to me? Especially your spouse.
Yes, a big one.
Especially the local church.
Yes.
It's a big one. And when she said that, that brought sobriety to me. You know, because, you know, Jennifer needs a strong hand from time to time. I'm kidding. It's okay. You can laugh. You know, if I'm saying that, it's not true, because I would fear for my life. I haven't been able to wear short sleeves for years because of the bruises. Anyway, no, it's a sobering, jokes aside, it's a sobering thing, because you realize how the enemy, wonderful in his gift, wonderful in the anointing, wonderful in the call, but that area, because he couldn't get his flesh under control, pulled him out of the perfect will of God. Because you can't just have things happen to you. The devil don't have as much power as you think he does. When you're hidden in Christ and you're on that thing, he can't really touch you. But to be able to put life-destroying sicknesses on you and you die really quickly like that, something, there was an access point. You call it whatever you want, open door, whatever. Yeah. But how you treat, especially your partner, it matters to God, your spouse. How you treat the local church, it matters. Yeah. And then, of course, there's other, like doing your assignment, what you get involved with, what you don't get involved with, or what I shared on Sunday. There's a lot of factors. It's not just, you know, should I take that job or not? There's other factors. That's why you have to have a prayer life.
Yeah, you do.
Because how do you not fully know where you're at on certain things? Yeah. But the Holy Spirit is our friend. He's our best friend.
Amen.
And he loves you more than anybody else loves you, even your mama. Yeah. He loves you. And if you'll just wait before him long enough, over a period of time, maybe have a lifestyle of waiting before him, he'll get things over to you. He'll show you ugly parts.
Yes.
Nobody wants to talk about their ugly parts. You understand? Because everybody doesn't, everybody wants to look good. Can I tell you, I don't know why, anyway, I'll just keep going. But I tell you one thing that bothers me more than anything in the ministry, one of the things that bothers me more than anything, would you like to know what it is?
Yes.
It's not maybe what you think it is. It's people being fake.
Yeah.
It's people acting in front of me in a certain way, but then I get evidence that they act completely differently when they're out talking to people in the congregation.
Amen.
Or they act a certain way in the building, but then I hear stories and evidence, not just hearsay, of how they what they act in the grocery store or at their job.
Amen.
And it's almost like a pride thing, like we're trying to impress this pastor, so we're going to be all shiny.
Right.
But then as soon as we get away, then the real us comes out.
Yeah.
That's called hypocrisy.
Yeah. It is.
It's not right. And that's one of the things I hate the most, because people should be themselves. You can ask her, what you see here is the same I'm at home. I'm not different. I'm not. I'm the same person. I'm the same person in another country as I am here. People that travel with me know, I have the same kind of annoying sense of humor. And I do that everywhere, wherever I am. And I love Jesus the same passion, whether I'm at home or not. I mean, obviously the anointing is not on me when I'm at home like it is in the pulpit. But I think one of the greatest things that we can achieve in life is to be stable and consistent and act like the Lord everywhere we are. I don't know why I'm saying this. Why am I saying this, Lord? It's somebody, for somebody needs to hear it. You can't come and act like an angel and go out and live like the devil. You can't do that and get away with it for long. God won't abide it in his house, and he won't abide it in this season. If you have a prayer life, that can't happen, because you won't sleep at night. Are you listening to me? The more sensitive you are to God, he'll keep you up. You can't get away with things. The other day, you know, I was a little bit whatever, and I wanted to go down for a nap. I had been a little bit sharp with somebody. Just wanted to go for a nap, and I'm trying to sleep. And it's like, I just hear him. He's like a woodpecker, a holy woodpecker. I'm ignoring you. I'm tired. Get up, call that person, repent. I'm not doing it. They deserved it. They might have deserved it, but you handled it in the flesh. Get up and call that person and repent. And because I want to please him, I don't ignore that. I get up and I call the person and I repent. Now watch what happens if you don't. If you violate that, the next time the holy ministry of the woodpecker, it will be lighter. You violate that again, the next time it will be lighter. Yeah, do it a few times, you won't even hardly notice that he's tapping you. I'm serious.
Yes.
Then you'll get to the point where he is tapping, you can't tell. That's a dangerous place. Oh my God, that's a dangerous place. Because what he's doing is he's trying to give you your rescue. He's trying to correct you, but you ignore and violate that instruction to the point that your conscience can start to become seared. Your conscience is that, what Dad Hagin said, the voice of your spirit. That not the Holy Spirit, but your spirit. When you, your conscience really, the world calls it that, but really it's your spirit communicating to you. When it pangs, that's your spirit that's displeased, because he's in touch with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you want to be led by the Spirit more, you have to stay soft.
Yeah.
You have to be quick to repent. You have to be quick to obey, and you got to do it, because if you don't, it'll start to get away from you.
Yeah.
And then you see people and it's like they take forever to make any changes. There's a reason for that. They didn't do that at the beginning, but they got slack with the dealings of the Spirit. Yeah. He's the Spirit. Our job is to say, yes, sir, not to say, wait.
So true.
All right. I'm not sure who that's for.
But
last week I shared spontaneously was it David? I'm all confused. I don't even know where we are. What month are we in? January? Okay. I think it was David. There's so much happening. But anyway, and I just talked about the permissive and the perfect will of God. On Sunday, we talked a bit about that as well, and about how it's easy to get in from the paved road to the gravel road. But you should be able to tell a difference. Amen. And that perfect will of God has a smoothness to it. Not no persecution. There is oftentimes attack. But you can tell the attacks out here, the attacks up here, but in here, perfect peace.
Amen.
Perfect peace. You got to be able to learn the difference. You got to know the difference between the peace in here, but the raging storm. You can have some raging storms, but inside you just got perfect peace. You'll begin to notice that difference. But I also say, can I just bring some balance if that's okay? Because I got 2 weeks ago when I last taught this, I went home and the Lord said to me, he said, now the Holy Ghost is sweet. Sometimes he'll tell me as I'm preaching, but other times he'll tell me when I'm done, because it's a bit more complex and he wants me to kind of write it out a little bit and then, you know, have the proper delivery of it as opposed to a spontaneous, I'm kind of flinging something out there. Usually when he does it after, it's very important. That's why he wants me to just say it properly. And so when I got to the green room, he said, I need you to bring balance on something. I said, I'm balanced. He said, I need you to bring balance on something. He said, what you said tonight was right about asking counsel from the office. He said, but if you don't bring balance, a couple of things are going to happen. I'm trying to help you. He said, number one, people that are new in the Lord and that maybe are, I don't want to say weak, because they're not weak. They're just new and they're hungry and they're quick to obey. Do you understand? They'll do certain things, but people will accuse you of control. Do you understand? Especially with people that are quick, they're very submissive in nature. And if you teach too strong on the come get counsel, then they think they need to get counsel on everything. And before you know it, we're going to be accused of the shepherding movement, which is where the pastor told you who you could and couldn't marry and what color car you could and couldn't buy. That's demonic. And that is not what we are talking about. The second thing he said, so that potentially could happen if people misunderstand what you're saying. All right? The second thing is he said, if you don't bring balance, you're going to get inundated with appointments. And within 2 days, I had 9 appointments set. Because what I said. So I said, well, Lord, I guess you know what you're talking about. Because I don't know if this is considered inundated, but I think that's inundated. And so I want to bring a little bit of balance. Can I do that? Because there's nothing wrong. I'm not taking anything back that I've said. I'm not saying anything back that I've said, okay? There is a spiritual divine order for inquiring. But don't ever take that over inquiring of the Spirit himself. Because what I'm finding is I'm asking people that are inquiring of me, have you prayed? And sometimes the answer is not yet. Are you listening?
Yeah.
That is out of order. You never go to a human being, pastor or not, before you go to God. Do you understand? Now, there is a tendency to say, but this person's got skin on. He understands. He could give me a quick answer. But that's still not right, because you've got to get in the spiritual habit of seeking God for your own things. You can't bypass and do a quick skip a corner and go to the pastor. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm not getting a very lot of amens, so I don't know what that means, but I'm going to just say it anyway, because nobody is as important as the Holy Spirit in your life. I am an aid. I am an office that he gave you as a gift, but I think the giver of the gift is more valuable than the gift. Do you understand? Okay? I don't want Christmas morning for Luke just to hug the things that I give him. I want him to hug me. Yeah. I gave it. I know you like your video game, and I know you've disappeared for 17 hours playing it, but what about me? I'm the one that bought it, boy. You know what I'm saying? The giver of the gift is Jesus. He gave us, the Holy Ghost gave us these offices, but nothing ever replaces him. And I know that's basic and obvious, but it must be stated strongly. He is your help before anybody else is. Before I ever go to Pastor Nancy, I just assume people know this so I don't say it, but maybe it needs to be said. Yeah. Before I ever even think of going to her, I pray. Yeah. But even when I pray, I can sometimes be so sure because I'm not skillful. Then when I do go to inquire on a big thing, major thing, then I have to come humbly and not be sure.
Right.
Because that's where I missed it on the other thing I talked about on Sunday. I was convinced. And instead of asking, do you feel peace? I'm not controlled by you. I don't have to obey you. Do you understand? Okay, my son, you know, my older children, you know, when they turn 18 and they're adults. They technically don't have to obey me. You know, but it would be smart if they'd ask because I may know more than them. But I'm not there to try to control them. They have to make their own way in life. When I go to Pastor Nancy, she's not there to control me. I'm a spiritual adult. Do you understand? I have to live with my decision. She doesn't have to live with my decision. But it is a safety to say, bouncing off you, pretty big deal here. Little things, I'm not bugging you. But bouncing off you, do you think I'm missing it? Do you check or is this okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Because I'm asking counsel. But she's not there to say, you can, you can't. That controlling thing, if that is happening, you can sense it. All right, and that is not what we're about. That is not what we're after. And if anybody is doing that in your life, you better cut that person off because that's demonic.
Amen.
We are not here to control or influence or bring pressure to bear. It is just I'm bouncing off. You know, I trust you. You're like a parent to me. Do you? I'm an adult and I make my own decision.
Yeah.
And I have to seek God myself. And my Holy Ghost is going to, you're not my Holy Ghost. Yeah. But I do recognize you have a place of authority and you may know something I don't. And God may have revealed something that I'm missing. What do you think?
Amen.
That's fine. But before you ever do that, you should have prayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would the Holy Ghost feel if you go to other people but not him?
Yeah.
You don't want to hurt him. So he said, you better bring balance on this. And so I said, you know, when you got big decisions, but I heard the Holy Ghost in the green room. He meets me in there. He actually listens to my sermons. What an honor that the Holy Spirit would actually take the time to listen to me. Because I've thought for years he didn't have time to listen to me. He got bigger fish to fry. But I figured out he's everywhere all at once. And he loves you and he wants to make sure that what is said by this holy pulpit is balanced. Because I'm an individual. I can miss things. I can emphasize things too much or too little or not at all. So he's my great counselor. And when I get back there, sometimes he whips me. Most times now he don't because I'm getting better. But he just said, he didn't whip me. He just said, son, listen, you got to balance this. You're going to have too many people asking you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and people that maybe aren't very mature, they're going to think you're a control freak. So you got to balance this. And this is what he said to me. I'm just telling you what I heard in my spirit. He said, tell the people, clarify big versus major. Okay. If you have major decisions, nothing wrong with bouncing it off after you've prayed.
Amen.
Major decisions. If you're buying a house and you're moving out of the city and there's a good chance you're going to not come to church anymore, that's considered a major decision. If you're marrying somebody, ding, 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 major decision. And go to Pastor Jenny because she knows more about it than me. I just unloaded 47 counseling appointments right there with that one statement. If you are doing things with very large amounts of money, you're doing massive things that could change your entire future in a risky way, you should probably just bounce it off. I can't tell you what to do, but I can check my spirit. And we have had rescues because of that. And we've had non-rescues because people didn't. Do you understand? Stuff like anything really, because my job primarily, yes, is to protect you, but it's to protect the local church. So anything you're facing that could hurt the local church, decisions that you could make that could draw you away from the local church, are you listening to me? That is stuff you should definitely feel free to bounce by. But And again, some this is a hybrid now. I'm giving you a hybrid. Some jobs are major. Some jobs are not. You don't have to come and ask me about your job unless it's major. You can make those decisions on your own. In fact, you need to learn and practice hearing God yourself. Because little things like, I'm thinking of a transfer, Pastor. I need to make sure that that's okay. I don't like that. What do you mean, is that okay? I've got nothing to do with that. Do it, don't do it. It's not my business. Don't ask me if it's okay. You're almost asking my permission. That's what I don't like, because you don't need my permission. Watch the way you phrase it, because you're not looking for permission. This can get away from us, and I don't want this to get away from us. There is a pure middle of the road to what I'm saying, but there are ditches on either side, and I don't want your mind in the ditch. One ditch is you completely disregard the office. You make major decisions, you never check, and then sometimes you make mistakes that cost you. The other ditch is you need to ask things that you really don't need to ask. And it's like almost like a fear base. I gotta check. That's wrong. Are you listening? So some jobs are major, some jobs are not. I'm not gonna get mad at you. This is not a grading system. I'm not gonna get back to you, fail. That was minor. I'm not talking to you. Goodbye. No, I'm not going to do that. I love you. But I'm just trying to say, if you ask, I'll answer no matter what. But the Holy Ghost warned me 2 weeks ago. He said, bring balance to this thing about checking with the pastor's office. I love the Holy Ghost. He is so perfect. And he knows my heart doesn't have a controlling bone in his body. I really don't care what you do from one perspective. And I really care what you do from another perspective. But it's because I'm trying to protect the church and you. It's not because I'm trying to have some influence in your life. Are you listening? So he knows my heart, but not everybody knows my heart. And not everybody is going to follow the wisdom of that counsel in the center line. Are you listening to me? So be careful with, don't... In your brain, I'm not a replacement for him. It's just a bouncing off things for big decisions so that what you already sense, what you've decided that this is God's will, is a confirmation to you. Now, when we went to Calgary and messed that up, tried to start that church, didn't work. And then doctor says, well, I knew that before you even get left on the first plane.
Winnipeg.
And Winterpeg. And I said, it's always cold there even in the summer. But anyway, and I said, doctor, I said, why didn't you tell me, sir? Could have saved me money, could have saved me time, could have saved me grief. He said, you got to learn how to be led by the Spirit yourself, son. You see that? You got to learn yourself. He knew, but it's like sometimes you got to let the child learn. Not an abusive way. You don't let the child touch the stove to learn. Right? But there's an abusive way of let the child learn on their own. But then there's not a non-abusive way. He's not talking about the former, okay? But then I said to him, I said, well, could you promise me that next time you'll tell me? Because I know that I have to learn, and I'm trying to learn, sir. But I really need you've been down this path long time before me. Could you help me? Next time, if you see something, could you help me? And he said something very wise that I would like to share with you. He said, okay, if you're asking, I will, but you need to reaffirm that asking at the moment. In other words, what you're saying now as a blanket statement does not cover the rest of your life. Okay? So when the situation comes up, you come and inquire. You don't come and be certain, which I just messed up on again, because it's easy to do. But listen to this wisdom. He said, when you come, if I sense a check, something's wrong, and I tell you. Now listen to me, because this is the balance. He said, I am not telling you what to do.
That's right.
That's the key. He said, I don't have a right, even as your parent, to tell you what to do, because you're not a child. Spiritually, I'm not a child. He said, all my counsel is allowed to do to keep this clean and pure and holy and right in the middle of the road. He said, my job, I've never forgotten this. He said, my job is to help you turn your head. That's all I do. Do you understand what he means? He says, you're looking here and you're sure because you prayed. I can't tell you what to do. It's not my place. It's not really anybody's place.
No, that's right.
Even the spiritual parent. Do you understand? We're not controlling. We have no right to dictate.
Right.
So the Lord said, bring balance. So I'm bringing balance.
Amen.
He said, you're looking here. He said, if I know that you're missing it and you ask me, because I can't tell you, I can't violate divine order. You have to ask. He said, and I say, I have a check. I think you should pray about that. Da, 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 da. He said, all I'm doing is I'm doing this. I'm trying to get you to turn your head and look over there. All he's saying is, I'm making you aware of another option. I'm saying, pray again. Because I think you might be missing something over here. And then it's my job to turn, not just do what he said. It's my job to turn and go, oh, okay, I change my focus. I begin to pray. Lord, what about this thing here? What about this option? What about, I've decided this side, but what about this side? And then if the Holy Ghost shows me, yeah, that's it. Then I'm grateful that he helped turn my gaze. And I'll obey. But if I feel in my heart that that's off and that I need to go this way, he's not there to change my mind. I have the divine righteous permission from God Almighty to fulfill what I think is right.
Amen.
But let's hope you know.
Yeah, that's the tricky part.
Because in every single situation where I have said, I prayed, but I love him, but it ain't right. I'm going this way. Every time Dr. Dufresne or Pastor Nancy has warned me and I have not listened, I've got in trouble every single time. Now, I'm not them. Do you understand? They have a skill level that I'm still developing. But I'm just saying, when you're dealing with people very senior in the body of Christ and you're junior in the body of Christ and they have an almost perfect batting average, You better be very careful to pay attention if they suggest that you turn your gaze.
Yes.
That's a foolish person that says no. And I was a little bit, because I didn't really fully realize who he was in the spirit realm and what place he occupied. Now, I'm getting stronger. I'm getting better. I'm getting more skillful. But, you know, I don't always have the certainty when people ask me that somebody like he would have had. Because I don't know God as well as he knew back then. Maybe down the road, I'm going to get more skill and I'll get more bold. But if I know, I'll tell you. And if I don't know, I'm not going to tell you my opinion. I'm going to only tell you if I know by the Spirit. And when I tell you, I'm speaking to you by the Spirit. Don't do this. Then it means even at my lower level compared to him, I know. Now, if you choose to, you don't have to do what I've said. I'm just saying, turn your gaze and consider another option. I wouldn't if I were you. Then you do what you want. But I'm just saying, even with him, even with his height, even with his skill set, even with his skillfulness, he never, ever tried to get me to ask permission. He never, ever told me what to do, ever.
No, that's right.
He only suggested I turn my gaze and re-pray. That's divine order.
That is divine.
We got to talk about this so that when the local church people don't think, well, you know, I can't do that. Pastor won't let me. Oh, dear God, no, 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 no. You do whatever you want. Now, I'm not talking about sin. Sin, the Bible tells you, I don't need to tell you. I'm talking about the individual decisions of your own future that are not about sin. They're about the permissive and the perfect will of God, or maybe out of the will of God altogether. All I can do, if you ask, which you don't need to do unless it's major, because you got to learn to develop your own spirit. If you ask, all I can do is say, I would turn your gaze if I were you.
Very good.
But that's it. So I think what people want, Brother Greg, is they want an answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they'll start peppering me. And then they'll start hammering me. Well, that's not clear enough. Well, I don't know what you're saying. Tough luck.
Yeah.
You've got the Holy Ghost, don't you?
Yeah.
If I get too strong, especially if I'm not 100% sure, I'm going to get in trouble with God for bringing too much influence to bear on you.
Yeah.
You see, like, this is a very, very fine line that we have to walk. We are led by the Spirit, not by people. But God gives us people to keep us safe. But you have to humble yourself and ask, and only ask on the big things. And even then, you still have to make the decision. They can only suggest which direction you should pray about. Does that help a little bit? Because I don't want people to misunderstand my heart or anything like that. And I don't want people to ask little things that really has got nothing to do with me.
Right.
Okay? Does that make sense to you? Learn to follow. Praise God. And learn to check if it's justifiable enough to check. So let me say this to you, because he said a second thing to me in the green room. I mean, this most of tonight is just me being admonished by the Holy Spirit after I open my mouth. Because you say things and they're right. I'm not retracting anything, but because it's so precarious, you've got to divide this cleanly. Are you understand? And that's why he's having me say this tonight. Because you can't just talk about it too cavalierly or just kind of speed on by. You gotta talk about the fine details if you're going to be right about this. And so I heard him say this. He asked me a question. He said, when you go to your pastor, even on major things, and I'll share more about this on Sunday morning because I've got more stuff to tell you. That was only part one on Sunday. There's more bad news to come, okay? Just come for the bad news and we'll have coffee and cookies afterward, okay? But anyway, don't feel bad. Don't just come. It's good news because we're getting in the perfect will of God. That's good news. But I'm just saying there's more to share, okay? So I will share a little bit more about this part on Sunday, but let me just say this. He said, when you ask Pastor Nancy major things, because I don't bother her with little dinky things. Yeah. In fact, to be honest with you, some of the major things I don't even bother her on because I've learned how to hear, but you know what else? The Holy Ghost will prompt you when you need to ask. Why don't we just stop making rigid rules and say, every major decision, I'm getting an appointment. Why don't you just listen to the Holy Ghost? Because if you've developed yourself enough, even in major decisions, you don't need to ask. You can learn how to hear. So not every major decision I go to her. I really go to her when I'm prompted. When the Holy Ghost prompts me to go to her. Now that's an indication in itself. If he's telling me to go to her, I'm probably missing it somewhere. So that's where I go fear and trembling now. Before it was just like, I don't know, God told me to come and talk to you about this, but I know what I'm doing. Now it's like, Mom, I need to talk to you about something and I'm sure I'm wrong because I'm here. Because if I wasn't here, I wouldn't be probably wrong, but I'm wrong. That's why I'm here. But I don't know why I'm wrong because I think I'm right and I have prayed and I feel peace, but I don't know what's going on. Please help me. And then I tell her the major decision because usually he only prompts me when I'm whatever, but you can learn how to make major decisions on your own and not miss it. Amen. Because you were all developing and we're growing. You always need the office of the pastor for teaching, for accountability, for impartation, but you don't always need the office of the pastor for counsel. Are you listening to me? The more you grow, the less counsel you need because you've learned things. Younger Christians, they need more. That's why we're patient with them. Do you understand? So he said, when you go and ask her, he asked me, ask her major things. He said, does she always answer you? I had to think about that for a second. And I thought, because my first thought was yes. And then I thought, well, I know your trick questions all the time, Lord. And this is not multiple choice. I don't have A, B, C, or D, or then E is all of the above. I mean, God, this is not multiple choice. This is hard exams I'm taking now. Much harder than my pilot's license. The Holy Ghost is tougher. He didn't give me the answers in a multiple choice. He said, does she always answer you? And I thought to myself, no. And he said, why? Why doesn't she not always answer you? It's not that hard. It's just we overcomplicate it. We think it's a big, serious answer. It's actually not a big, hard answer. And I said, well, I guess she doesn't answer me because she doesn't know. And he goes, that's right. He said, she doesn't know everything. He said, would you like to know why? Now that's an easy answer. I got the answer. For once, I know the answer. I said, I know the answer to that. She doesn't know everything because you don't tell her everything. And he said, that's right. Would you like to know why? I said, I know the answer to that. This test is going well. I said, the reason why is because you don't want to tell her everything. You want to tell me some things. Are you listening to me? So he said, tell your congregation to balance what you said. If you weren't here, then you don't know what I'm talking about, so you should listen to it. He said, tell your congregation answers will not always be forthcoming. And that doesn't mean that you as the pastor are ignorant, missing it, don't have a prayer life, don't love them, haven't prayed for them. Because not every answer should come through you. Because I'm the boss, and I don't want to show you everything. Just like I don't show her everything about your life, I won't show you everything about their life, even in major decisions. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So, because what can happen is you can almost feel like, this is a major decision. You have to give me an answer. And I'm here to tell you, no, I don't. I can only tell you if I know. By the Spirit, not by my brain. And if he doesn't choose to show me, argue with him. Leave me alone. Because I am not wrong. It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't care. It's not that I don't wish and agonize with you that you don't have an answer. It's I cannot just say things and it not be out of here.
Yes, yes, that's right.
This is how people ruin their lives. So I'm going to tell you three things. It's very simple. Whenever I go to Pastor Nancy and talk to her, she only answers me with three statements ever. She's never done anything more or less. And there's only one statement of the three, but it's one of these three. Are you listening? She'll say, Pastor, and she says, oh, sweet, too. Pastor. She says, I don't have any leading on that. Darn. Because I want her to have a leading. I need an answer. This is important. What is she saying? God ain't talking to me.
That's right.
And I ain't going to tell you something else that I don't know is from God. Yes. You go back and pray. It's your job. It's your life. I'm not here to control you or even in this case, help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
The second thing she'll say is usually she just says it different ways, but the typical way she says it, if she's giving a validation or she's saying, yeah, this, you know, I think you're right. Basically, she'll say, that feels good to me. She doesn't wave her hand. Yay. And again, I say yay. The Lord would say unto thee, yes, Craig, go with your heart. She just says very simply, yeah, that seems good to me. She's very low key, man. Don't get excited. Don't get nothing. I get more excited. But I am going to become very boring from now on. I'm going, not that she's boring. I don't mean that as a negative. I'm saying I'm going to become very wise. My beard is white with wisdom. And I'm just going to say, that feels good to me. I have no leading on that. And say it calmly too, because I get very excited. And then, the other thing is she'll say, if it's in the negative, she'll say, I sense that may not be quite right. Maybe you should re-pray. What she's saying, turn your gaze. She has never come and said, no, my God. She's never come and said, yes. She's always just said, seems good. I have no leading. I'd re-pray. That's it. I've been building this thing up in my mind. I've been praying and fasting. I've brought gifts. Bribery baskets. I mean, I've done everything. I'm there. I've got my tie on. I am ready for the prophet of God. I'm telling you, I'm ready. And it's, I don't have any witness on that. Feels good. Pray some more. I wouldn't do that till I pray some more. And it's like, okay, next time, no bribery basket. Next time, you know, just kidding. But I'm just saying that the Lord said, bring a balance to this because people want this fancy, big, dramatic, I've got an answer for you from God. And I'm telling you, that is not how the safest people on the earth operate. Because what they're trying to do is take the showmanship out of it, take the elaboration out of it, take all the stuff out of it, and make it very simple. It's about you and God. It's not about me and you and God. This ain't some weird triangle. This is you and God. You're bouncing it off because God gave me as a parent to you, and I'm letting you know, feels good, re-pray. I got no witness. I don't have a sense either way. And I'll be honest with you, if I had to categorize what is the most common answer that she's given me when I've gone to her, it has been the one where she says, I don't have any leading on that. No. And I'm like, yeah, you do. Yes, you do, Pastor. I didn't come all this way for you to tell me you don't have no leading. Pastor Craig, I can't speak but what I hear my father say. My father ain't speaking to me. I have no leading on that. Go back and pray. Make your own decision. It's not my problem. She didn't say it's not her problem, but that's what she's saying. It's your life.
Yeah.
You're going to have to live with the consequences. You're going to have to lie in the bed you've made. And what people do is they want to bring somebody along so when it goes wrong, that person has to get them out of lying in their bed. That's dangerous. You put me in a very awkward position. So we help, we love, but this is all part of being led by the Spirit. What I'm talking to you is part of being led by the Spirit. Because getting counsel is a part of that process. Now, there was a third thing in the green room that he said to me. Would you mind if I shared that with you? For once, it's not on my head. It's on your head. But notice, 2-1, I got corrected. This is a correction for you. But I heard the Holy Ghost say this. Now, he's never said this to me. He said, did you notice? He always says it that way to me, which means I didn't notice. I should have. He said, did you notice that a lot of people come to ask for what they're doing, counsel for what they're doing, but very few people come and ask for counsel why things aren't working out? I said, no, I didn't notice that. He said, how many times? He asked me. He'll talk to you just like a friend. He said, think about it. I'm not like an exact statistic, but he said, just think about it. How many times do people come because they're wanting to do something right? They're making a decision. They're coming for bouncing it off. They're coming for counsel. And then how many times do people come and say, something's going wrong. There's failure. I don't know what's happening. Could you please help me? It's like 99-1. I can count on one hand. In 16 years of pastoring this church, one hand, where people have come to me and said, things are failing. I don't know why. My marriage ain't working. I'm sick. My business is not working. I'm bouncing this off you. Do you have any counsel? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's very quiet in the Pentecostal church tonight. You know why? Because people are proud. Human nature is proud. People don't have to be proud, but human nature is proud. And when things aren't going right, what the mindset is, let me go and ask Pastor what I need to do, as opposed to things, what I'm doing aren't working, let me ask for correction. Yes. What do you pick up where I'm missing it? Because if something's off, otherwise this wouldn't be happening. Yeah. Or the devil's got an open door somewhere. So the Lord said to me, bring balance to the sun and remind people that they don't have to just come to ask for stuff that they're about to do. But if, and again, you got the Holy Ghost, I may just say to you, I have no leading on that. But if things are hard, if things are difficult, if there's things that just you can't figure out, but something's not right, that would also qualify to come and say, I've prayed. Do you get anything? Is there any correction? I humble myself. Is there anything? You know how few people ever do that? Because they don't want correction. They want advice, but they don't want correction. And I'm just winding down, I'm writing notes, and then he said, but there's another aspect to that. This is like a part B to this third one. And he said, how many people come to you when they've been wrong to you? He asked me that. And he said, people that have withstood you, people that have been rude to you, people that you've offered counsel, they've rejected that counsel. He said, have you noticed? Those ones never come and ask. The ones come and ask for advice, but they never come and ask for repentance. They never come and say, I was wrong. I ask your forgiveness. I want to get right back on track. And could you help me? Yeah. I'm just telling you, that's what I heard the Spirit of God say. He said, everybody wants advice. That's what he said to me. I wrote it down. Everybody, people are quick to ask for advice, but not for correction. So if you have ears to hear, hear. I'm not beating you up. If you have ears to hear, hear. Because I do go to Pastor Nancy when things don't work right for correction. Because I need correction more than advice sometimes. And sometimes I'm missing it, but I don't know where I'm missing it. And so, praise God. Hallelujah. Pastor Nancy has spoken to me more times in the last week than I think ever since I've known her in terms of numbers of hours on the phone. And she called me and she said, Pastor Craig, I'm just love you and praying for you. She said, things are gonna take off for your church. I said, I know, Mom, we're in a new season. I don't tell her anything about our vision. That's not my place. It's her vision, not mine. But she's picking things up in the Spirit without me saying a word. She said, this is an important year. Things are going to start taking off. She said, as a result of that, there's a lot of reorganization and change that you have to. I said, oh, dear God, Mother, you have no idea. We are dealing with it on a daily basis. But she called me a number of times because God would speak to her and say, I want to talk to you about this. And then we'd talk about that area of the church. And she'd say, and she's very gentle. She's very gentle. But she'll say, and I'll say, Mom, correct me. Yeah. Well, if you ask, I think you're missing it here. And I wouldn't do that if I were you. Now, I'm not your Holy Ghost. You got to pray. But if you're asking me, you're bouncing things off me. Same concept, same principle. I'm the safety. I can't guide you, can't direct you. I'm not the Holy Ghost. But we only think of it as advice. But what about bouncing things off in order to be corrected? Because half the problem is people need correction. That's why things don't go well. And so I said, correct me. She says, well, if you're asking, she said, I do have something by the Holy Ghost. I sense something by the Spirit. And so she'll get more elaborate on the correction than she will on the advice. The advice is very simply, I have no sense when I think pre-pray or that feels good to me. But when it's correction, then she'll explain, because correction, you need to know where you have to make the change. Mm-hmm. It's not just a simple of, I'm doing this, what do you think? That's an easy answer. It's one of those three. But when it's, this is being messed up, am I missing it? Can you correct me? It's not just a matter of, yeah, you need correction. You need to explain to the person so that, like you do with your child. Luke, it's wrong to beat your brother with the bat. Let me explain to you why that's wrong. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's wrong to shoot the dog with your pellet gun. Let me explain why. Just kidding. You're a little too serious. You look like you're about to cry or something. But she will explain. And I'm telling you, even in just this week, she's helped me so much. She's helped me she's shown me, she spoke by the Spirit. She began to prophesy as well as just talking out of her heart. But she's there to not just give advice. She is there to be a provider of correction, because that's what a parent does. A parent does not just give the child advice. The parent says to the child, you're wrong and I need to correct you, because whom I love, I chasten, God says. And the Lord said to me, everybody wants advice, but not everybody wants correction. And tell them they should be as quick to come for that as they are for their advice. Woo, Jesus. And not everybody, last part B, is quick to come for repentance. Because when they've withstood the church or God himself or me in any kind, sometimes it's not enough to pray. Sometimes you have to come in person. Do you understand? If you do something, you have to come to that person in person, especially if it's a leader, especially if it's that kind of thing, and say, listen, I was struggling. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I don't want, things aren't going right. And I'm tracing it back, and God's been showing me it's because of what I said here, or what I did there, or what I said about the church, or what I said about you. That man, never in a million years would I think he would have done that. He went through hell on earth for years. But finally, the Holy Ghost got over to him. It's because of how you treated Pastor Craig and that church. That is why devastation has visited your house. You cannot touch the anointing and God let it go, especially when you try to destroy a church, which none of you are doing. But I'm saying some crazy people out there do that. Demons get a hold of their mind. Kenneth Hagin said, anytime that happens, there's a demon present every time. And so, but I'm saying he came to that place of, he wasn't calling for advice. He wasn't calling to see if he needed correction. He knew he needed correction. He was calling category 3B for repentance. I'm wrong. I was wrong. I want you to, would you forgive me? Can we pray together? Can we work through this? Because I need to get back in the perfect will of God. And I'm telling you, that pleases God so much when people make that effort and they come when they're wrong. It's not enough just to meditate at home about it. Are you with me still? Yes. It's 8:41. Maybe we should just order pizza, because I can see some people, the tears. They're just thinking, dear God, get me out. Pastor Jenny, would you like to get up and just sing a little bit more? Jesus, help us. So if I ever say to you, I don't have a leading one way or the other, don't get upset. Because it's not my job to have an answer for you. I only can hear what I hear, the Father. I can only do what I see the Father do. And he does not always show me why, because he's trying to develop you. Yes. Right? Amen. But if I do have something, I give you my word, I will tell you. and you should listen, or at least turn your gaze and pray, because there is help and rescue in an office. It's not because I'm so smart. It's not because I'm so educated. I'm not. It's because I stand in an office and there are arsenal and tools in that office and anointings in that office to rescue people's lives. And you might be smarter and you might have all these other degrees, but the difference is you don't stand in my office. That's why, don't matter how smart people, we've got lawyers in the church, we've got doctors in the church, we've got people that have 10, 20 times more education than me, but they don't stand in my office. That's the only difference. And God sometimes picks the simple things to confound the wise. Praise God. And he sure picked a simple guy from Africa. Now, are you still with me? We'll talk a little bit more and then we'll let you go. We talked about open doors, right? Do we have to really talk about that again? Thank you, Sue. Thank you for the resounding no. Hallelujah. The Lord is with us. Oh, God. God, if God opens a door, then you go through the door. But here's the question. Man, I got this awesome job offer. And a better pay, better benefits, better location, better workload. Is that God opening the door? You cannot look at the door itself and say, that's the leading. That's like another version of a fleece. You're led by the inner witness. You're not led by the offer. Don't let the offer. Listen, Lord, I saw his six pack. Lord Jesus, please. Let me tell you, he's the whole package. I mean, he's just the whole package. I mean, he even loves Pastor Craig, and nobody loves Pastor Craig. This guy is the package. I don't need the leading. I got the leading. I'm looking, baby, and I'm a liking. I'm a looking, and I'm a liking. That is not a leading, because he's rich, handsome, loves God, fasts and pray, and casts out devils on Saturdays. The leading comes from in here. And God might have a bald guy with glasses on that don't know how to cast out devils, but he's the perfect fit for you. Or you might want the bald guy, but God has an NBA star for you. I mean, you go on either side of the coin. All I'm saying is that the open door is not about how good it looks. That's all I'm saying. You're led by the witness, not the open door. So if there's something seems to be opening, especially if you've been praying for it, then just check your spirit. If there's a peace and an unction on in the inside, a lift on the inside, then you know God opened that door. Walk through it and enjoy the blessing. But if you check the shiny object, don't look at that, look here. And if the Lord says, you're going to check, I don't care how good it looks, how wonderful it seems. If this is no, God didn't open the door. The devil did, and he's very good at that. In the realm of things working out, offers, dreams, all this stuff, that's the devil's kingdom. Yes. He can manipulate, twist, and fake things, but he can't fake that inner witness. So I'm just saying, just because something opens to you, like somebody invites me to come, nice big conference. It's going to be wonderful. A lot of people touch and say, that doesn't mean that, just because it's good does not mean it's God. Okay, you following what I'm saying? The door opened, but is there a guy with horns behind the door, or is there Jesus? How do I do that? Look to here, because my spirit know who's opened the door. Not that it's open. Who opened it? That's what we're trying to figure out. Listen, I can save you a lot of heartache if you follow this. Where's Nigel? Is Nigel here? He's in live stream. Well, he won't mind if I use his name. I already is, so you know who I'm talking about. I guess I should have said, anyway, I don't know what I'm doing. But anyway, he called me this week. He said, Pastor, he's so sweet and transparent. He's not going to mind me saying it to you. Listen, I've just told you my screw-ups. Let's just focus on somebody else's screw-up for a while. Okay? I mean, you just look at Nigel and you know he's mischievous. You just know it. He sent me a picture of him smoking when he was a kid. I mean, this guy's been in a lot of mess. Do you know what I'm saying? Jesus, he's a trophy of grace. Let me just tell you that. But he said to me, he said, you know, we had dinner with you a number of years ago. And, you know, they wanted to take me for sashimi and sushi. And I said, I know the best restaurant. Mary Chris said, no, you don't. So we went to her restaurant, and I was right, not even nearly as good as my restaurant. And you can feel free to tell her that the next time you see her. And so, but it was still good, and they were treating us, and so we were sitting and talking, and he started talking. It's one of those things where it's like you have to, like, go down on the ground, like, almost on your knees, like you're in Japan. I don't want that. Let me just sit at a table. I don't want no authentic experience. Bring me the food. It's like you're kneeling and begging for the food or something. I don't like all that stuff. But while we're at the kneeling down, kind of sitting, kneeling, whatever that table was, it's like you're right on the carpet. Very strange. But anyway, while we're there, he says, you know, Pastor, I got this job thing, and I got this offer and whatever, and I'm listening. And I'm just checking my spirit. I'm not saying nothing, but I'm just checking my spirit. I'm just checking my spirit. And there's a red light. Red light. Strong red light. And he said, so, you know, I just, whatever, you know, I'm pretty sure about this, you know, what do you think? Well, he did ask, but he's sure. Now, I technically could just not answer because he's sure, but I want to help people if I can, especially when I get a red light. I don't want to influence you too much either. Sure. He's bouncing it off me. Yeah. This is an example. Not in my life, finally. And so I just said, I would pray about that. But let me tell you, he said, Pastor, because I'm so excited about this thing and all the offer. He said, I heard you, but I was like, well, I don't know what that means. I'm not praying about it. I know. And so he said, I went and did that. And he said, it turned out to be the worst contract job I've ever had. And he said, it cost me. He said, I'm going to slow down and listen, because you may not have an answer. The Holy Ghost has an answer. If I'm missing it, you might be the backup if God shows you.
Sure.
Are you with me?
Yes.
And so I'm telling you, these shiny objects,
yes, they're distracting too.
Do not mean that God opened that door. Yes. The devil controls shiny objects too.
Yes.
You got to know who opened it. You got to check. Are you listening to me? This is in every area, a lot of different areas. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're still okay, right? I this is one of my quotes, because you always love Pastor Nancy's, and oh, that's amazing. So I better hear some right now when I read this. And if you don't like it, do it anyway. Yeah, you already started. No, she doesn't have asthma, brother. It's okay. My great quote says, don't let the door have a voice. No, that's a fake right there. Follow the voice and the leading of your spirit, not the door. Because when the shiny object has a voice, and it will call to you, come to me. Right? Especially relationships. Baby. Right? And the jobs. Money. Show me the money. The job will yell to you, right? The shiny object, the door has a voice, but if the devil opened that door, you want nothing to do with it. That's why we don't have to make mistakes. We don't have to call the psychic network. We can just look into here. The Holy Ghost is in here, and he will show you the bearing of witness or the check that, no. So don't get your eyes off the object, off the thing, whatever the thing is. Don't let it have a voice. Let the spirit have a voice. Which means you can't get your emotions too involved. Because if your emotions are so involved, you won't hear the inner witness. Which means when you're dating, you can date, but it should be very light. Don't get your soul locked up. Because your spirit's not going to hear as clearly, because you're all got starry eyes. And the same would be anything. You know, a house. You can love that house so much. I just love that neighborhood, and then your neighbor has got his shirt off while he's doing the lawn, and you're married and you're not looking, but you're thinking, this is where we're supposed to be. Now that's a whole nother problem. We got to cast the devil out of you. But other than that, what I'm saying is, you may love that house, the neighborhood. You may love that car. My God, look at that car. Don't get enamored emotionally with the thing. Pull back. That's wisdom. Pull back and check.
Yeah.
Pressure. You have to make a decision today. Then I guess I'm not making it.
That's good. Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
All those shysters will try to push you. Okay. Now, I'll just read you a couple verses, because I can see you really want me to move on. Praise the Lord. Can you look at Revelations chapter 3, verse 7, then we'll shut her down. Okay, but I'm just sharing with you balance because I'm going to be taking this series all over the world. And I don't want pastors and other people in other countries to hear one side of, you know, go to your pastor for counsel, because what if they're a control freak? The people may not think I'm a control freak, but what if some pastor in India hears this and they really are got a problem with control? And a lot of people do. Now they're going to take that sermon and run with it in the wrong direction. That's why I'm not just preaching to you. Do you understand now? I'm preaching to 150,000 people tonight. Because in just this one conference, that's who's being reached. I have to be very, very sober with what I say, because for many years, it's just been us four and no more. But now God said to me, start taking your material with you, because other people need this teaching, and you can't be there for 6 months teaching them. But you can take a 20-part series, which took you half a year to teach, and in one moment, they listen to that, and they can get that revelation. Praise God. So that's why I may be a little bit slower, a little bit more detailed, because I'm realizing it is not just the people in this room. Are you understanding me?
Yes.
What did I tell you? You weren't listening. Oh, God. Thank you. Revelations chapter 3, verse 8. And it says this. And now to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. When God closes something, if it's God, it's closed. When God opens something, if it's God, it's open. You just got to know who's the one that openeth. Because the devil has mimics very, very easily. Do you understand? Did we read verse 9? Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will... Is this even in my notes, Lord? Okay, let's just keep reading. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. This is not the verse that I'm looking for. Maybe it's verse 8. That's verse 8. I jumped to verse 9, didn't I? Sorry, verse 8. I thought this is synagogue of Satan. That's not in my notes. My God, what are we talking about? The synagogue? I didn't even know Satan had a synagogue. I guess he does. He goes to preach every week in the synagogue, but that's not what we're talking about. Okay, verse 8. Let's just read the end of verse 7. Okay. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Notice God can set before you an open door. God can open doors. But you have to know that he's the one that set it for you. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm just giving you this open door thing is scriptural. But you got to take it the right way. You got to know who opened it. Are you still with me? Now, do you know that there's different kinds of doors? Now, this in Revelations, it doesn't say what kind of door this is. It just says, I opened a door. But there's other verses that give different types of doors. If that's okay, then we look at a couple and then we'll close. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Because not every door is the same. And you might be surprised at what doors are even mentioned in Scripture. Okay? And they're normally not usually about houses and cars and money and stuff. It's usually about ministry. So Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3. And it says, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Doors of utterance. God has to get, notice that, you know, the devil can give doors of utterance. Flesh can give doors of utterance. Human beings can give doors of utterance, but God gives doors of utterance. So part of the doors is about speaking. Doors of utterance. I want you to notice that this is under the preaching and the speaking category. Have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Praise God. This is interesting. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. The Lord did it. And notice again, this is about preaching. This is about ministry. Now watch now. A door was opened to me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit. Because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. Now this is a very, very interesting verse. Because did you notice? He knew by the inner witness God had opened the door. He went through the door. But as soon as he got into that city, into that in assignment, he had no rest in his spirit. Why? Because Titus wasn't there. What does that show us? That shows us, this is a very important point. God can open things for you as long as you know it's God, and it can be for a very short period of time. Just because I go through a door, because God authored me to get here, does not necessarily mean I'm going to stay here for very long. Always check your spirit, even once you've gone through the door. Are you listening? Because there may be an assignment that's quick, but there's danger and he wants you gone. There may be an assignment that's quick, but there's persecution. Or he knows the people's hearts aren't going to receive. So, but he wanted you to do just one thing. Might take half an hour. But now he's... Now, in this case, he had no rest because the brother wasn't with him. But the principle is you could have... It could be a million reasons why you have no rest in your spirit. What does that mean? No rest in your spirit means you have a check. Something is uneasy. I like this because the Lord opened a door. He went through the door. He did whatever that was. Didn't tell us what the assignment was, but it obviously wasn't very long. But immediately his spirit was grieved. That wasn't meaning that he missed the door. It means that some doors are fast. And you move on. Are you listening to me? Somebody told me recently, I think they're not here tonight. Must be backsliding again. Praise God. I'm just kidding. They're not a backslider. They said, Pastor, I went to this job, I had this job, and then I don't know, I felt like God lead me to another job, and then God's leading me back to this job, and I'm like, what's wrong? Am I wrong? Why would God lead me back to the other job? Like, he took me out of that job, now he's moving me back to that job. And I said, and then when the person told me all the details, it is the Lord opening a door. There is a peace. This person's going to walk through it, and they're going to get really blessed. And I said, well, the Lord brought you from this door, opened this door, because he knows if you stayed where you were, you'd never qualify for that promotion. So he took you over to this company and let them pay for all the training. And let them get your skill level get up. Let your resume get all nice and shiny. Then when the right time come in that other job, which was always his plan, that now they're going to look at you because before you didn't have the skills. Now you go back, get a nice, big, fat, handsome raise, better benefits, better workload, better everything. You can be opened a door, but not there for very long. Because now he's going to open another door because he was setting you up. Didn't Dr. Jerry say God is working behind the scenes? Why don't you stop worrying about, well, I don't know why he led me out of that because I like that. Why don't you just go where you know God opened the door, where you know he's leading you. Just go because there's probably something connected that you don't know yet. Let them organize. Let them pay. Let them do it. Because now another door opens, and now sometimes it's fast. And you go right into the blessing of God. Yes, another person told me this week, there's two wonderful testimonies. Another person told me this week, they said, you know, I just felt in my heart, I don't give all the specifics, but she said, I just felt in my heart, you know, to just be around this manager, and there was a problem, and I was kind of there, and then they were frustrated. I'm just giving the synopsis. And they said, you know, but I was there and I overheard them. She said, I hope I didn't miss God. See, people are so worried about missing God. Just the Holy Ghost, your helper. Don't worry so much. She said, so I just felt I should say something, so I did. And then because of that, they put me on the different shift with the other thing, which I'm not usually doing, and I learned some new skills, and then another thing, and then I heard the manager talking, and the person quit, and they don't know what to do, and I just felt the Lord say, just go, go, go. But Lord, just go. So I went and I said, I can do the job. And he said, oh, thank God. Come into my office. $26,000 pay raise. This thing, this thing, this thing. And said, thank you. She said, if I hadn't have opened my mouth before, they wouldn't have put me in that position. I wouldn't have overheard the conversation. If I hadn't have been bold to open my mouth again, I'd just be in the same job I've always had. But the Holy Ghost in a very short period of time. You see, open door by the leading. God opened it, but you got to know it in here. And it takes boldness sometimes to step through, but it's not very long. Yeah. All of a sudden, there's a leading in your spirit for this. Go, go, just go. Let him guide you. Amen. Because he's setting something up. Amen. He is working behind the scenes. So don't be too like, well, I'm not really sure if that door is God or if that door is the devil. I'm going to fast and pray for 17 days. I'm going to wait on the Lord about that door. Because by the time you fast it, it's already closed. Live a life of prayer. Check your spirit regularly. And if the spirit prompts and says, slow, pray, do it. But if he don't, and it's you live a life of prayer. There's a peace. I just feel good, man. Lord, I'm looking for the check. I'm looking for it. And I think I should call Pastor Craig. Oh, right. He preached the next Sunday. I don't have to call him all the time. Okay, well, is this a major decision? Well, I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. What do I feel, Lord? Do I have to fast and pray for 17 days? Oh, I just think I'm going to do it. And then you just step out. And then before you know it, you're rolling. I'm telling you, God's trying to set. How many things have we missed because we started overthinking it? But if you don't have a prayer life, you won't know without the long prayer set. See, this is the problem. If you don't have a prayer life, you need the 17 days. But then by the time you've done it, that opportunity is long gone. If you just live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Live in that flow of loving him, talking to him, fellowshipping with him, praying, worshiping in the word every day, daily lifestyle, daily habits. Then when that thing comes and he's like, go through the door. You've got about 28 minutes. You don't have to even pray hardly. You just check.
Yeah.
Is it? Let me check. Okay, feels good. Let me just check again. Okay, do I call Pastor Craig? No. Holster that weapon. You got 24 minutes. Well, just hold on. I feel peace. You got 9 minutes. Would you hurry up and go? Sometimes I think God laughs at us. And then you go timidly. That's better than going not at all. And then all of a sudden now it changes again. But I thought you led me here. Just listen to me. Shh. Well, what about this? Lord, this is zigzagging. Listen to me. I'm telling you, often that's how it works. So I love this scripture because he had the inner witness to go through, but the Holy Ghost didn't keep him there long. The following, the leading of the Spirit on the inside knew he needed to get out. He needed to go somewhere else. Just because God opens a door by the inner witness and you go through it does not mean it's guaranteed for a long period of time. Be sensitive and be quick to move and have a constant prayer life so you know. Anyway, I hope that helps. I got some other scriptures, but it's past the time. The cafe is calling and legal stimulants are on the agenda. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name, I thank you for the balance of the Holy Ghost, not just because these people might misunderstand, although that as well, but also because other people will be hearing, and I need to make sure that we are clean and pure in the middle of the road about all of this. Talk to your pastor and get counsel and all that stuff. So I thank you, Lord, for the help and the balance. Holy Spirit, I thank you for speaking to me and showing me that balance because it blesses the people and it blesses me. It helps us live more skillfully. And that's really ultimately what we're after. Thank you, Lord, for open doors. They're biblical. They're scriptural. We just got to know that you open them. And we know that by the inner witness. And we can know that more quickly if we have a lifestyle of prayer instead of an occasional bout of prayer. And Lord, sometimes you're going to lead us quick. And sometimes you're going to change direction quick. And we got to be ready to move on a dime because you're working behind the scenes to set something up for our blessing. And I thank you for the individuals that are learning this, and all of us are learning it. And I thank you, Lord, that you got so many people in this room alone and well as watching that you've got blessings planned for them. You've got money planned for them. You've got joy planned for them in their work and their family and relationships. But they've got to live that life of prayer and know that inner witness so that they can move as necessary. And sometimes it will be quick. And others, it will be long. But let us follow it, and we will reap the harvest as a result. Because you've got a good plan for us. The plans that you have, the paths that you've authored us to walk in are good. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We give you glory, and we give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said amen.